Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Listen to your favorite shows on ESPN 97.5.
Okay, I like the sound of that.
KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gau Media station. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
I believe we've infused enough energy into your Wednesday afternoon because we have brought it.
No question.
As I mentioned, we brought it from both sides of the plate. It's getting to be playoff time, and down the stretch, you got to have your best lineup. So I went with both my guys. I got Barry on the right. I got Travis on the left. Not necessarily political views, but the fact that they're both in studio. And we have been bringing the knowledge. We're bringing guests that have helped to enhance the knowledge. We've also talked a little bit of other things. And speaking of other things, there's a story, guys, that I want to get to. And maybe, Barry, you can get to it for us. But we've all talked about, and Barry and I have talked about at length, some of the proposals that happen at sporting events and the fact that some of them are actually setups and fakes.
Yeah, they are, right? A lot of that, not even just
when
the proposals.
When I was with the Rockets, there was one that still lives to this day as one that people will it will reappear on social media and others going, man, this guy just got screwed over and she really said no, and it looks like it was all set up. But this one wasn't a setup last night at Yankee Stadium, and this one was one that started out with good intentions, but they turned very bad very quickly.
Yeah, apparently this dude was going to propose to his, I guess, fiance or girlfriend or what, your girlfriend, and he lost the ring before he had a chance to do it. So he's got the whole section of fans trying to help him find this ring, and there's video of it all over the internet if you go look for it. But he can't find it, and now he's kind of blown what he was planning on doing. But he needs his woman to help him find it and all the dudes around him. That's got to be a feeling of, like, complete ineptitude as a man to be like, I really messed this up. This was my one moment at a Yankee game.
And we're talking about New York now.
Yeah.
You know that there's some of those guys that are not looking with the couple's best interest at heart.
In Philly, they would have booed him.
They're looking like, man. If the Yankees ain't getting a ring, I'm going to get one tonight.
But I'm going to Macy's tomorrow morning and after I go to the pawn shop.
Exactly. And not just Macy's. I hope that it's 2, 3, maybe even 4 carats. I'm going to take this sucker straight to the damn jewelry store and be like, I'm not even going to pawn it. Hey, I bought this for my girl from another spot. She said no. Let me see what I can get from it.
Yeah. Can I get a couple of earrings? Maybe. You know.
Yeah, we trade this out. Even trade. Even Steven.
And you got to. So now he's relying on everyone around him to be honest and help him find this ring.
Now, literally, and this is Yankees Red Sox at Yankee Stadium, right? Big Poppy's last series in New York, full house, good game. David Price pitching for the Red Sox. Guys are stepping out of the batter's box to look at the section, going, "What the hell is going on over there?" Because it's like an all-out scrum melee. All you see is back pockets. Because everybody's head is down at their feet, looking under seats and chairs, and trying to find this guy's ring. And meanwhile, the guy is crying.
At one point, he puts his elbow on his wife's shoulder and just leans on it like, I really messed this up. Because, you shouldn't be with me. I'm an idiot.
Because here's my question I got for you, Barry, is that for this guy, for one, did he ask the question first?
No.
And then reach in his pocket, or did he reach in his pocket? Because now it's all ruined for the simple fact is, you have to tell her what we're looking for. You can't say I lost my wallet.
Yeah, so I think it was one of those where they directed your attention to the section.
He was on the screen, man. And then he starts checking out the pockets like, the hell? What the hell?
He said, He said, I normally have my card, but it seems like I'm fresh out. Bam! Bam!
Yeah. They did not. He was like, and then they ended up, Nick, didn't they end up finding it in her cuff of the cuff of her jeans?
Yeah, I think Joel was mentioning it was in her jeans because her jeans
After the search party, Leonard Nimoy and the search party went in search of and couldn't find it. And then someone, and I mean, let me tell you so this. The guys we're talking about that had bad intentions for that ring, they're the ones that decided to check the cuff of her rolled up jeans and found the ring there. And then they're like, oh, damn, everybody saw me and I found it here because now I can't run off with this thing. But who the hell's checking the cuff in your rolled up jeans? That's where the ring ended up. It does have a happy ending, at least in the ballpark, in the fact that the ring was found. He then executed the proposal.
Yeah.
She did say yes.
Glad she did that. I would have said no.
And the line of the night was, of course, at least someone in Yankee pinstripes will get a ring this year.
Yeah. And here's my other question for you is, I think he was probably crying.
He was.
Because, well, I'm going to give you the reason why he was crying. Hadn't got the ring insured yet.
Right.
And he spent, what is it, three times your 1 month salary?
Three times a salary. Yeah, your month salary.
How many paychecks? Yeah, your salary.
Yeah, so he's thinking, so in the back of his mind, he's thinking, I've lost 3 months of salary. It wasn't insured, so I can't get it back. Yeah, I'd have been dying too.
Yeah. Well, and apparently it says when they got an explanation from the couple, the ring popped out as soon as the box was opened while he was on one knee. So he was down there, and then it popped out.
This is why I hate Barry being on this show right now.
Oh.
Because I'm about to say something that Barry's going to love.
Oh, hell.
And because Barry has his little laptop in front of him, this ain't going to be difficult to find, right?
Oh, hell.
But I speak from experience
and
that
Google.
I actually did that.
At the game?
No, I proposed to my wife, now my wife.
Lisa Hernandez.
Yes, at a private concert that I had lined up with friends for the Goo Goo Dolls performed for 50 people in a room.
You got that money.
No, it had nothing to do with money. Actually, it cost me zero. But I do have
connections.
Hookups.
Yeah.
Yes. And more connections than Ma Bell sometimes. But in the process of doing this, the Goo Goo Dolls had a song that she loved that was basically, quote unquote, our song. They actually dedicated it to her. Everything. And Lisa's a smartass. So Lisa actually looked at me and slapped me and basically said, I see what you're doing here. You're trying to look like big time. I won't say what else she said, but basically, so you're basically having him dedicate a song to me and you think you got it like that.
You think king?
So after the song plays, I then proceed to go down on one knee, and Johnny Resnick, the lead singer of the Goo Goo Dolls, says, Joel, I think, has something else he wants to say to you, Lisa. And me, Mr. Rico Suave, cool guy, opens the box, and the ring goes, bing! And I literally just called myself out. I go, yeah, I dropped it, but recovered in a hurry, picked it up. She said yes. There you go.
Good thing it was a real diamond.
It was real, all right.
It was a fake diamond.
I went through what happened with the Yankees guy, I would have been more than crying because that would have been a boy.
And what you about to say?
I was going to say, I already found it on the internet.
You did.
And two, I could not name you one song from the Goo Goo Dolls.
Oh, man, they're good.
I don't know what the hell that I couldn't name you a single song.
I could name you good songs, but I can't name the songs, but I know they do good music because I've heard some songs, but I just don't know the names of them.
But now, Iris, so where did this take place at? There's a lot of people in this room where you proposed.
At the Mix 96 studio.
Okay. Oh, I see you right here.
Iris, Baby's Black Balloon. They have a lot.
They have a lot of good songs.
Nick, you got get us some Goo Goo Dolls, please. Thank you.
Sure.
And hey, look, both of you guys, top that though. In terms of, you guys are both married. You had to propose.
Yeah, I did.
We like to give the listeners that touchy feely moments to bring them closer to us.
Mine just got done dropping a deuce on the toilet, and I was like, "Hey, man, you want to marry me?" She's like, "Oh, okay, pretty. Thanks.
All right. At least we covered the spectrum.
Love now.
You are pulling my leg.
No, I'm not.
It's love now.
And you called your wife out, who is a loyal listener, by the way, on the air.
Damn.
And called out the fact that she was dropping a deuce.
Y'all going to fight when you get home. You know that.
We don't fight about that.
Great song.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
What the hell is this?
Goo Goo Dolls.
Goo Goo Dolls.
This made me want to fall asleep.
You don't know this song?
No.
Just let it play, Nick. So how'd you propose, tough guy?
Well, I'm on my second marriage, so I proposed.
Okay, so how'd you propose both times, tough guy?
The second time, my wife, she's an animal lover. She loves cats. So I went down to a place called Just Cats in the Woodlands. So I went over there. They had a litter of kittens. I got a baby kitten. I wrapped the ring around its collar and gave her the cat.
Good thing
on
the cat
one
didn't
knee.
Run off.
No, the cat smelled like it had been rolled in a litter box. It was terrible. I got on one knee, handed her the cat. And then, yeah, she was like, oh, this smells so bad.
There's nothing worse than a bad-smelling cat.
That's right.
You never want a bad-smelling cat.
No.
But,
right, Nick?
So now basically you were Mufasa. You thought you were Mufasa on top of Fried Rock?
That's exactly right.
And they gave her a ring.
Hey, by the way, they don't have a picture of you losing the ring on here. It's just
the video
the video shows
me dropping the ring.
Oh, well, I'm gonna find that video. That's going on ESPN's website.
Self-deprecating. I'm throwing it out.
Messing with you. I'm not gonna find it.
There's also more popular songs. The one Iris from what was it? The movie where Demi Moore and Patrick Swayze? City of Angels. City of Angels. Iris is another song by the Goo Goo Dolls. But you know what? I'm not embarrassed about that.
That's solid. No question. You get an entire band, not just indie band.
Yeah, that's hey, you man, know, props to you. That's good.
And
stuff.
By the way, though, I had to fight with her and her mom because this is from City of Angels. Yeah. This is probably one of the most popular songs. I had a limo lined up.
I know this song. Yeah.
Okay, now I've heard this one.
I had a limo lined up to take us to the concert.
Yeah.
She's like, we're not frilly like that. We don't do limousines. I go, can you just... I said, we were going to the concert with friends. I said, you know, they felt bad that I got the tickets, so they're going to get the limo. She was like tooth and nail adamant, like, I'm not going to this private show first if we're taking a limousine because we're not frilly like that. We're not doing that. And I called her mom and I go, I just want to let you know that later in life, when we look back at this moment, it wasn't my fault we didn't do the limousine, but she was adamant against it. And I was afraid the proposal wasn't happening. Her mom's like, oh, no, I understand.
Oh, but that's good. You know what? That lets you know your girl wants to shop at Target. You know what I mean?
Oh, she ain't shy about that. She finds bargains.
That's what I'm saying. But that's a good thing. You don't want the girl to be like, this limousine ain't big enough.
She's got a gold card.
I need to get me this. Like, oh.
Who needs Optimus Prime when she's got a gold card for Amazon Prime? Yeah, that's all I'm saying. That's how she rolls.
But that's a good woman to have, though. Because you don't want the ones that's always, you know, in the words of Quincy's mom, Quincy's dad on Love and Basketball, which... I keep you in Gucci and gold. You don't want no woman that want to be in Gucci and gold all the time. I like my woman that Char said, Wally World and Target. Thank you.
And we do call it Target because it is a more eloquent touch.
Yeah,
and
the
feel.
Red Circle Boutique.
That's right. There you go. And Nick, you like hoopties in gold, and that works for you as well.
No, I do not like hoopties in gold.
Ever since Nick got called out about these songs,
yeah.
Somebody tweeted earlier that he's been doing good.
He's
with
been
the music,
doing really good, especially
and he's
today.
Been killing it
yep,
today.
Yep. Good job, Nick. Way to go. You're heard, not seen. Or seen, not heard, but you're doing a hell of a job.
You're not seen either, bud.
Thank God for that. I have a face for radio. And we are ESPN 97.5 FM.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
That's quick, Nick. On the turntables and the mic, spinning the tunes that we know Travis likes. Hope you like them too. Welcome to Club Wednesday at Club ESPN 97.5. The Gal Media Extravaganza has been producing nothing but hits today from 1 to 4 p.m. in our regular time slot. And we have both of our esteemed colleagues joining us in studio today. It's been fantastic. It's Barry Laminack. It's Travis Johnson. I want to shout out to my man Lil Troy. KP, my man Kenneth Peterson, or Patterson, I'm sorry, at UCLA's campus, listening on the Wizard of Westwood's campus. That shows you we're going worldwide, and we're starting to go back to your home area in Cali.
We're everywhere.
We're building it, and so they are coming.
They are coming.
There you have it. And for those of you cowardly keyboard confidence people that like to take shots at my manliness on text messages, which is why we basically
I didn't read it. You always say I read
Barry and
it. I didn't
got
read it.
Geeked about it. So
nope.
I will say this:
nope.
If you've seen my wife and you know my baby girl is a year old, and you're probably sitting in your PJs, randomly scouring the internet.
Hey man,
I'm pretty sure I'm okay.
Don't pin this on me. I'm the one. I didn't even bring it up. Nick brought it up. He said, "Did you see that text?" I didn't even mention.
Are you taking it personal because I said sitting on your bed in PJs?
No, I'm saying because you threw my name in the mix of
called out to Nick anytime there's something on me. You're calling it out.
No, man, you're sensitive. That wasn't me. I didn't do that.
Well, I tell that listener, that coward keyboard guy. I like the freaking Google Dolls, and I know one thing he not going to call me is what he called you.
Well, he didn't actually call me that. He texted it in because that's a safer
y'all didn't let me finish, though. At the end of the text, it says something about it's a joke from the 40-year-old virgin. So
I've never seen that movie.
Yeah.
Well, I have. You haven't seen that with Steve Carell?
Is that Steve Carell?
Yeah.
I've seen part of it. That's where he tried to get him a date, ain't it? And try to get him some?
Yeah. And he's like, I hope you got a big...
The title of the movie, which is the 40-year-old version.
I hope you got a big trunk because I'm putting my bike in it. You never saw that? Come on, man. Listen, that's a good movie.
I got concussions. I'm missing decades, man. It's okay, man.
You know that the spinoff of that's going to be the 33-year-old version in a hoopty?
Quick, Nick.
I didn't say that. You said that. I just said that. I heard that was going to be the sequel.
But you bumped sets, and I had to spike it.
Well, there you go. That's because we know Karch Karai could also be Crotch Karai.
Yes.
Depending on who's doing the announcing.
Very true.
There you have it. 3:30, Keenan McCardale joins us for talking even more in NFL. If you have a question for K-Mac, why don't you head it our way so we can get it ready for him. You can get us via Twitter, or you can get us at 713-780-ESPN. And or the fact that my man KP is listening on the app at UCLA means that you need to do what he's doing and more people should.
Yes.
And that is download the app by going to ESPN975.com. That way when you're in your car, you can run it through your Bluetooth. Nick can run it through his cassette tape.
Nick's got a pull-out 8-track. Don't let him fool you, man.
Whatever you said about Nick cars. And his pull-out is something that you guys talk about off-air that I'm not getting into.
Who's close to
what? You don't know what a pull-out radio is?
I know what it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know why you make... Yeah, that's just...
Trav, you knew what I said.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I knew exactly what you were... I knew what you insinuated. That's why, I put my head down because I thought it was hilarious.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Put your head down because you thought it was hilarious?
Yes.
Yep.
Because I didn't want to laugh. I didn't... Nick, your fam
is... trying to save it from you.
Nick, your fam, so I didn't want to be like... I didn't want to gas him up too much. I figured I would be neutral in
that
situation.
But he did call it
out. I appreciate that.
But he did call you out. I made no reference to you, as Barry would say. Basically, he shoots the shotgun and then says, but I didn't have anything to do with the trigger pull.
Yeah, y'all both do that. Y'all both try to escape responsibility.
Hey, I don't. You know what?
I just said the sequel to the 40-year-old version, and he pointed and said, quick, Nick. That wasn't me.
It's all right.
Anyway, K-Mac's in studio at 3:30 to continue the discussion, and we have had a great discussion about everything from the J.J. Watt injury to shoes to having the Chargers former team doc on, who gave us some great insight on the injury, to the ring story and marriage proposals and how we all proposed. And Nick, I'd ask you, but it's not relevant because it didn't happen. So we have a lot more of a good show going. And, boys, I think that one thing we should probably mention is because we can do the beginning and the end today, Barry. Your Ken Giles love affair is over. Ever since we talked about that, your Ken Giles love affair has gone south. He's now Travis Johnson's least favorite player. And after a good win last night that they much needed to stay in the playoff race, not going so well today for the Astros at Minute Maid.
What's the score?
Well, they gave up a half dozen in the first or three innings, so they were down 6-0 early.
You're killing me, Smalls. You're killing me.
And Trap, you are also a big baseball guy.
Man, I love baseball. Man, there's nothing. That's the greatest game ever. It's a thinking man's
game.
Look,
I played it. I love it. I'm with you. But I mean, I love the Astros too, and we both do. And the thing is that I have hung with this team, and I have enjoyed the way that they go about their business and play the game with youthful exuberance. But they have had like 9 lives, and they kept staying relevant. They're down 7-4 right now in the bottom of the 6th. But as I've heard Jeff Lunau say, there's like 9 games this year. And we talked about this in terms of – we both talked about this. There's those seasons when everything lines up for you, and no matter what, like the Texans playing all these teams that have guys, key guys with injuries. Other years you're going to play guys that are loaded, and you're going to have the injuries.
Yes.
The Astros have dropped about 9 or 10 games this year that they had won that should have been in the bag and they let get away. And at the end of the day and at the end of the season, when you look back, and we used to do the same thing with the Rockets where you could count how many games you blew. And if it was less than a handful, you're in great shape. But if it was like 2 hands and then your toes, you're screwed.
Yeah.
And the Astros have just dropped too many games that they had a lead and should have won and closed out from the foul ball that wasn't, that started the loss in Cleveland. There's so many more that you can stack up and look at, and that's what's going to cost them, and also the way they played the Texas Rangers, because if I believe it's 15-4, the Rangers were 15-4 against the Astros. Not to even say they had a winning record. If they would have been 9-10 against the Rangers, keep all those losses you should have won. If you were 9-10, you'd be tied for the division lead
right now
with a handful of games to play. So you have only yourself and the Rangers to blame, and as a sidebar, Robbie Cano.
Yeah, very true. I think when you look at him, you say that. I think that's why so many people are so high on him, because they know how many games they blew when, like, even the game the other night against the Angels, when you blow a two-run lead in the ninth, three-run lead in the ninth, and then you not only give up those three runs, but you give up an additional three to go along with them. I think that's the thing that, when, like you said, you can go back and count how many games they screwed up.
Yep.
And they're still right now, what are they, four games out of
two
and a half games? So think about that. If you, like you said, you just your record against
the loss column is what comes down to it this time of the year.
Yes.
The half games are just kind of, you know, they're basically a way of looking at it like it's closer than it is. But when you look at the wild card standings going into today's game, and granted they're losing today, they have 75 losses. The second wild card team, the Orioles, have 72. So it's a solid three, looking at four, depending on what happens later this evening. And then they still have to go to Anaheim, which is a team that, had they taken care of their business, and you were there live and living color, had they taken care of their business against the Angels, a team that's not going to the playoffs,
they would be
live and living color right there in the thick of it.
They'd be in there like swimwear.
You can talk about what they did against the Rangers, but the problem is they started 7-17.
That's the other problem.
And they started to climb out of that hole, but they never were able to come all the way back from it. And to me, that's the biggest, that's the glaring weakness in what happened this season. You can't start off 7-17. They expended so much energy as a team just trying to come back for that and claw back, and got within, you know, a couple of games of the Rangers in the division. People are forgetting.
Absolutely.
They were within two and a half games of the Rangers in the division. And then it slowly started to falter down the stretch. The injury started to take over. So if they don't start that slow, maybe they could hold off that wild card spot that they would have already if they would have at least started 500.
So when you pull up and you order your combo platter, and it starts with the bad start in the first month April, and then you add your record against the Rangers, and with that you also get a small Robbie Cannell and a dessert of Ken Giles, that's an appetite for destruction right there.
That's the old supersized combo at Mickey D's. You know what I mean? And I know they're not a sponsor, so I shouldn't say their name on here. But
you're a Cali guy. You can go In-N-Out or Fatburger.
Yeah, I could. In-N-Out, Fatburger. Oh.
You put egg on your burger?
I have before.
I always thought, and I lost this because my wife and obviously my mother-in-law's in town, and they're both from California. I always thought that In-N-Out put the egg on, but they said it's Fatburger. And
yeah,
I looked it up, and I was wrong.
Yeah.
Are you rolling with either of those over Whataburger?
I'm In-N-Out over everything. In-N-Out over Whataburger.
It's all right if you're wrong sometimes, Travis. No, it's okay. It's good to be wrong sometimes.
Listen, if you're talking about French fries, then you
He's talking about the burger itself.
Whataburger is just a Houston thing. Everybody's all gassed up. It's about
a Texas thing.
In-N-Out.
It's a Texas thing.
Travis, Whataburger does their business just like we do our shows.
Yeah.
We don't make them until you order.
Yeah.
But you order it Monday through Friday, 1 to 4, right here on ESPN 97.5 FM.
Injured? You don't need just any lawyer. You need John Mastriani. He takes pride in fighting for the rights of people who've been injured. He will fight for the justice and recovery you deserve. Call John Mastriani for a free consultation. You pay nothing unless he wins. Get the help of an experienced, compassionate personal injury lawyer. Call John Mastriani at 713-665-1777 and let him start your fight. That's 713-665-1777. Call today.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
The All-Star lineup is with us, starting with Nick Sciarra behind the glass, and sitting at the Magic Round Table with us for a full show have been my two steadies, the loyal co-hosts, Travis Johnson and Barry Laminack, and now joining us for his regular Wednesday stint, Keenan McCardell. And Keenan, you, I'm sure, were listening because you are loyal like the rest of us that have downloaded the app, make sure that they have it online and they can't miss one of our shows. But I think the biggest story of the day has to be the Astros, so I'm sure we need to get your feelings on that. I'm kidding. So J.J. Watt, I kid.
I wish y'all could have seen.
Yeah, you could see Keenan's face right now.
Are you serious?
But we were talking about a lot of things via the J.J. Watt injury. But the one thing that I want to get from you right off the bat is you've been in a lot of different locker rooms, a lot of different organizations. When you look at this injury and then you say who's to blame for him coming back too soon and re-injuring, at least is what we're being told right now, the disc, how much does management, coaching staff, and training staff take the blame in allowing him to go out there too soon?
You know what? I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, because, you know, they knew that he had a pretty extensive back injury, and he had to have surgery and to go out and play. I mean, it was going to be tough, and to be the same JJ that everybody knew. And then, you know, you look at JJ being a player, you almost have to hold him back himself. You know, the management and the training staff has to hold him back because you know he's going to want to play. So I think it's a little bit of both. It's just not management, and it's just not JJ. I mean, and for the most part, you would hope, you know, the training staff would say, hey, JJ, we need you to sit out the first 3 weeks of the season just for your safety and your well-being after football.
Well, Trapp talked about it from the Chargers' perspective. And you've been in Tampa, the Chargers, the Redskins, teams like that. But we know that Bill O'Brien's somewhat of a control freak and that he comes from the Belichick tree. But you also know that Rick Smith not only provides the groceries, but he's also got an opinion on the fact that this is his $100 million guy and you got to protect him. So the discussion kind of went to the next level of how much blame can you put on Rick Smith and Bill O'Brien, as well as the training staff, because we know whether it's a scapegoat or otherwise, the head trainer, who we both know very well, and I think you know, and is a personal friend of mine, but he's going to get a lot of scrutiny whether he deserves it or not.
Yeah, he's going to get a lot of scrutiny. You know, but it's hard to keep the MVP off the field. If the MVP says, I can play, who's the questioning? And I think that's what they were saying. You know, he was close, but he wasn't fully recovered, but he was close enough to see if he could get through it and, you know, and fight through it. And you know what? You know, it happens. I mean, they took the chance, and then, you know, he hurt his back again. I mean, I think, you know, Rick understands that, you know, you got to have the MVP out on the field. You know, Bill understands that also, but in the long run, you have to say, you know what? We need him down the stretch more than we need him at the beginning of the season.
And we talked about that.
And to be honest with you, they could have got through the first four games without him, mm-hmm. and then let him heal up four games and then be ready to play.
As a teammate, is that something you stay out of? Like if there's one of your guys in the locker room that you know might be injured, and you're like, hey man, why don't you? We got you. Just, you know, you get fully healthy. Or is that something that, you know what? That's you. That's between you and the staff, and I'm gonna stay out of it.
It's hard to tell a guy that, but you do. You know, it's hard to keep him out of it because he wants to be in the fight with you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but you know, a lot of times we'll come up and say, hey man, we good this week. You know, we got such and such. I don't say no team's name, but we got such and such.
The Bears. I'll say it for you.
Okay.
You know I would.
The Browns.
And
you know,
but does that speak to his leadership? Does that speak to as far as how the guys feel about him? How the guys decide? Hey, if they didn't nobody tell you? Didn't nobody say JJ sit down? Or the coaches didn't say JJ sit down? Now do you say these guys might not really have that type of relationship to be able to approach him to tell him, hey, relax?
It could be that way, but you also got to realize that he is the leader of that team.
Yeah.
And they need him out on the field. And he may have felt that pressure that, hey, this team needs me. And but then that's when leadership has to say, hey, JJ, you know, we're our leadership is more important than yours, and we're going to tell you to sit down for 4 weeks and you know, and get your back completely healthy.
Because I'm sure he felt like the team needed him, but you know there was a little bit of that streak needed him too, right?
Oh, no doubt. I mean, he definitely wanted to be there on opening day, but you know, at the end, you know, it's bad for both people now. I mean, the team and him. I mean, because he's going to be out. He has to probably have another surgery, and you know, you never know what happens. I mean, this could, when you start talking about back injuries,
mm-hmm.
it could be the end of your career.
Yeah, and
I hate to say that, but we've talked to a lot of people about that.
And I said just simply because I've had C6, C7 injuries, and you know how debilitating they are. And if they're pinching a nerve, now you lose strength and function in your extremities and things like that. But let me ask both of you guys this question from a locker room perspective, and we kind of touched on it. If he's your teammate and that happens, that goes down, are you feeling like he betrayed you because he came back too soon and that's going to hurt you guys on the field and in the locker room and in your master plan to try and win the division games, the Super Bowl, et cetera? How are you feeling when your guy made that decision and whoever made the decision and he comes back and something like that happens?
I mean, I feel bad for him because right. I know what he was trying to do is be there with the fellas at the beginning of the season and fight through the whole season. I mean, I'm not mad at him. I mean, I'm sick because he's hurt because I know we gonna need him. You know, you don't need to two-time MVP. Yeah. You know, you need him. So, you know, I'm not mad at him literally, but I'm just mad at the situation that he got hurt. I mean, and, you know, we wish that a speedy recovery. You know, I wish a speedy recovery because this team really needs this guy. I mean, he's a dynamic player for him and the league. Yeah. And I think they're going to miss him a lot.
Here's my question for you is, who takes the fall for this? Who takes the fall? Because at some point you say, as a trainer, this guy's not right. You know, we had Dr. Chow on here earlier, who both you and I both know Dr. Chow. Right. And he says it's a three-part system of the player, the guys upstairs, and the training and medical staff. Who at some point has to say, listen, this guy is only 6 weeks out. Stay another few weeks because you know what? You can't give us the loaded gun. We right. know good and well. We're not going to say
we're
we
not
going to
say no. We're not going to say no. And that's why I said it's on all three parties. I mean, I think it's all three parties that's going to take the fall. I mean, because, I mean, like you say, you give us the loaded gun, we're going out. We're going to go out and play.
Let me be clear, because Travis isn't sometimes, because he gets a little excited. But when he says a three-headed monster, it's discussion, because I said Rick Smith has to be in this process of blame. And some people said no. And then Dr. Chow was one in explaining how the Chargers hierarchy discussed it. And he said it is football operations and the general manager, coaching staff, and the training staff. And I think that's where I, from a nutshell, saw it. But then you say four. When you say four, do you mean the player as well?
Yep. That's four. I mean, because you got to include the player in the equation because he has to make the final decision of if I feel good or not.
But that's when Child, remember Child said earlier, the player was a part of the trainers and – the trainers and
so
the
you put the
staff.
Players with the trainer.
No, he said it was the player,
the medical staff, the
player, the medical staff, and then the front office, which was the coach and the GM. He was combining.
So he lumped them together.
He lumped the coach and the GM together. So right. if you do that, I mean, it's a three-headed monster, and they all three got to take blame because somebody knew if he had a setback some way somehow, and it wasn't the player. He might have been told, but it was the medical staff, and I knew the medical staff and the management knew. You got to know that.
But if you didn't have a setback, because maybe he didn't have a setback, but you got to know the ramifications of if he comes back too soon.
If he comes back too soon and he gets a serious blow right. on it, or he gets in a funny situation and he hurts it again, you know the ramifications of it, and you know what's going to happen. He's going to be out for the year.
I mean, listen and learn, ladies and gentlemen. Listen and learn. It's Travis. It's my man, Barry. Keenan McCardell and myself, Joel Blank, and we are bringing you 3 hours of nothing but information, fun, and a lot of in-between. And sometimes that in-between is in and out, depending on how you look at it. We'll be back with more ESPN 97.5 FM.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Boy, it's been a good show, gang. We got one segment left to go. Nick, I know on your rate of show schedule, this has got to be up there a little bit because we have put together quite radio gold when we needed it. And we've got the entire family in the living room.
Yes,
we
do.
Keenan McCardell, got Barry Laminack, got Travis Johnson, got Nick behind the glass. Nick waved to Travis, who's doing his own intern production of videos.
Nick, I got to give you credit. He's tweeting live. You got some good music going on.
You're getting shout-outs all the way from Cali. In Westwood, saying Nick has finally stepped up and his bump game is on point.
Thank you, Keenan. So, I appreciate that.
Can I get some West Coast? Can I get some West Coast sister guys from Cali?
Absolutely. We only got this last segment.
But when we go out, our outro, let's have some West Coast.
Name it. What are you
talking about in the break? And I want to get your guys' opinions before we come back. Yeah, I did say it. Where do they go from here in terms of defensively? You know, 4-3-3-4, do they switch things up? We already know that they've started to put Clowney with his hand in the dirt. You know, Barry's the guy that says that Clowney's the guy that's got to step up. You tend to agree. Travis disagrees. But the bottom line is, we know what we're dealing with. He's out.
Yes.
So now it's all about what do you do now to bounce back from him being out, and what pieces do you shift, and what do you do to maintain a defense that has been one of the better defenses in the league in, through 3 weeks of the season? Take the debauchery in Foxborough out of the equation.
I think it's going to be you move Clowney over to J.J.'s spot. You're going to go with a more four-down approach because you already said that you wanted –
You mean four-down lineman.
Four-down lineman approach and instead of a more of a three-down lineman approach. And you move Whitney over to the weak side end, have him stand up, and you have a four-down front basically. You still can run some 34 principles to it and tell Jadavion, hey, your hand's in the dirt. You're outside. You're rushing. Let's go to work. I mean, this is what we drafted you for. You know, we've taken you out from being a five technique over the – over the tackle, I mean, in you know, where you run oriented. Yeah. Now you're pass oriented. You're defensive end, outside in a four man front, and let's go get it.
Well, I agree with you. I think when you look at it, you're gonna say how good are these guys gonna be as far as coaches? Can they sit there and say, you know what, Jadavion, we're gonna swing you to the strong side every time. We're gonna send the other end in the five technique,
which is linebacker.
I'm talking about the other five.
The
technique.
Other five next.
He's gonna be the three technique now. Yes. We're gonna bring him down to three technique on the weak side of everything. So he's gonna be in a wink alignment, and then the other stand up linebacker, which should be Whitney, and say, you know what, you stand up and you do whatever you feel is cool on that other end. So they can do it. The question is, are they gonna be not stubborn enough to do it, or are they gonna say, hey, Jadavion, you just got to do what you got to do, because I don't feel comfortable with them in a true 3-4 calling a Will Wink without having him outside and saying, Jadavion, go play 3 technique.
I don't feel comfortable with that.
Yeah.
The Wink?
The Wink alignment is where you take the 5 technique, like Wink, you're closing them down. So, you know, just like how the actual Wink is, you're closing them down to the 3 technique. So you're winking that. You're closing down that side.
No one on radio can see you winking.
But that's what I'm saying. They see me on the live Twitter right now.
Well,
so real quick, too, though, because I'm sure there's a lot of people out there listening that don't even know what a 5 technique is. Outside of the tackle.
Five technique
is technically head up on the tackle. 3 technique is outside shade of the guard.
Right.
So it starts at the center, and for a lot of people, that's zero.
And the zero. Top of the center. And then you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 all the way down.
And the W in Wink stands for weak side. So the weak side defensive end will get in a wink alignment over, which is 3 technique on the weak side guard. So that's when I say Will is the defense. Wink is the alignment for the front guys. That's when I say I don't feel comfortable with bringing Jadavion down in a 3 technique with all that heat and all that body that's going down over there.
More bricks in his pants.
By the way, right now Nick just feels like he just got hit with an exam that he didn't study for, like a pop quiz, because he was trying to take all that in. So what he would like you guys to address, and this is Nick being bit Nick, and that's why he's so valuable to us. Coach O'Brien said today that J.J. Watt completely followed doctor's orders. He passed all the tests, and he didn't rush back. Your thoughts? That's the theme from Jeopardy for those of you that have a little bit of a tone deaf whistle.
We,
and that's enough of that for the radio listener.
Hey,
because we all know.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been there before.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what he's supposed to say.
That's coming from the Belichick tree, that's what you're going to say.
Are you expecting anything other than coaches speak to come out of Bill O'Brien's mouth?
You have a back. You had back surgery in July.
A full backiotomy.
By the way, that's a medical term that Travis created today.
But,
all the valuable insight
think
he's
about
brought.
This.
He did not stay at Holiday Inn Select, and he is not a doctor. I just want to let everybody know
you
that.
You had full back surgery in July.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's getting ready to go bench press 300-pound mm-hmm. men. Mm. In September.
Two of them at a time.
Yeah,
at
he's
a
getting double.
So he got 600 pounds that he's bench pressing, trying to keep off a back that you just got worked on in July. You tell me, was he supposed to say that or not?
Of course.
Apparently during the O'Brien press conference, somebody said, did we see the presser after practice that he got a little testy with the media, which
like
is
you
nothing
didn't expect
surprising.
It was like basically take your bets on who it was going to be. If Barry Warner was there, he'd have been front and center in it. But somebody was going to call him out to the point whether it was John McClain or Mark, but someone was going to dig, and touch a nerve. But you kind of expected this because as a head coach, you almost want him to be that way because, you know, this is one of those kicks to the grapes that you not only didn't expect, but you're not real happy with.
But you know why it touched a nerve? Because he now knows that seats warm me up. He just turned his kid.
I told you
his
guys kids, that 2 weeks
his
ago.
Kids just hit. He sat in the front seat. His oldest son sat in the front seat with him and turned on that seat warmer, and you didn't know. And at the end of the day, you all know what that feel like. When that seat warmer come on, he be like, man, damn, why is it so warm?
Let me tell you guys this. His seat's not warm because the division is not strong. It's not strong.
I said by the end of the year, it's still going to be warm.
If he wins the division, he's still warm.
He won the division last year, but it was a crappy record. It has to be warm. 10-6?
Well, no, it's not that he won the division. He got bounced 30-0 in the playoffs. That is embarrassing.
That's the part right there. Exactly. But if you win a division, well,
I shouldn't
say that because a man just got fired with 114 wins and 34 losses. So you might be right. This is the time we're in.
It's not the division that he won. It's the playoff game and how they lost.
Right, and the New England game because it's your arch nemesis in trying to get to the next level. You can't beat New England, whether it's regular season, playoffs, or anything in between.
Yeah, but I think most people had that as a loss anyways. It was an embarrassing loss this time around. But I think most people going into the season, when you start going, this is a win, this is a loss, that was an L.
Not with Tom Brady. They didn't have that as a man.
Why am I measuring myself against New England when the Broncos are on a class of the AFC at a class of the league right now? They're the Super Bowl champions.
What Texans team, by the way, are you referring to that was 10-6 last year?
Well, my bad.
They're not even close. That was the worst division in football. But, so if you just continue to win the worst division,
they won.
In football,
they won a division.
But here's why.
It's just as bad as the what your Green Bay Packers were.
Why you guys got to go to my guy?
Here's why I say,
the black and blue division, as they used to say,
the NFC North. Yeah, but here's why I say. The seat is hot for the simple fact is, if you invest $100 million with me, and my $100 million man is no longer available to me,
then it's hot.
Then it's hot.
See? So and, there you go. So you just switch.
You see what I'm saying?
But if the $100 million man said, I'm going to be Superman, then it's not my fault.
At some point, you're putting
that on the coach when you got a doctor over there.
Travis, you're making the
and the medical center that's saying he's ready to go, and the coach is listening to the doctor.
Man. You're making the assumption that O'Brien was pushing J.J. Watt to get out on the field, and I don't think that would be the case at all because I think he would know that if he's not ready to come back, it's a back injury. I think most of this blame goes on the shoulders of J.J. Watt.
I know, but I think that's who you blame for this.
Give me a man listen and then lay it down.
Man listen.
They open that door, man. What you gonna do?
Run out there and go. Regardless. But here's the thing: you gotta know as a head coach and as a medical as a training room staff that this guy right now is not all there. He a couple chromosomes short of being being Rain Man.
He's teetering.
He's not all there. So he's gonna go out there and do whatever he wants to do to be great.
But here's the thing. Think about this now for a minute. So you've got J.J. Watt saying I'm ready. The medical staff saying they're probably saying it's too soon. But if you look at his track record, he's always come back early and been able to perform on the injuries that he's gone through in the past. He's never missed a game up to this point. With the pull groin and the abdominal muscles and everything else that he had. So why wouldn't you trust that he's making the decision? And that's what I'm thinking Bill O'Brien is looking at going, well, it's his body. He knows better. He's bounced back before. Well,
that's the same line they all have with concussions. It's his body. He knows what he's done before. He's come back all right. And now what is it called? It's costing him $1 billion.
Well, but I'm saying, but in this case, I think you got to blame J.J. Watt.
And I'm saying, as Lester Holt would say in the debate, or Lester Holt wouldn't do, I'm having to step in here.
Lester Holt was gone.
Because he was terrible. I'm telling you that you do not even have 10 seconds to rebuttal. But I'll tell you what, we put together one hell of a show for the fans today because what we did was we brought the A-team together.
We was just getting started, too.
But these guys were rolling like a barrel downhill.
Y'all don't invite me, so
I'm just glad you showed up and had my back. Thank you.
Yeah, they don't invite me on Wednesday, so only on Fridays.
And now Barry knows how I feel every day. For Travis, for Keenan, for Barry, I'm Joel, and behind the glass, it's Nick. Please join us again tomorrow afternoon when we do it all again and we bump out with Keenan McCardell's playlist.
I see you, Nick.
ESPN 97.5 FM.